You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters, and welcome to the Father's Quilt. I'm your host, Christina Doyle. Thank you for joining us this afternoon here on Radio Maria. We come to you every Tuesday and Friday afternoon from 1 o'clock to 1:30. And as you know, brothers and sisters, this entire month we have been talking about the supernatural. We've been talking about miracles and healing of Jesus. So, brothers and sisters, before we begin our awesome broadcast, let's begin with a Hail Mary, shall we? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Thank you again, brothers and sisters. I really hope you're enjoying these broadcasts, and they're here to encourage you, you know, during this time of a crisis that we have upon this planet. But it's all how we look at it as well. If we make the most of our time that we have being self-isolated and away from our loved ones, it isn't easy. But try to make the best of it, brothers and sisters, and know that you can find encouragement and strength through our God, through our Lord Jesus. So, first of all, brothers and sisters, the authors, the writers of the Gospels in all, affirm that 3 days after Jesus' death on the cross, he rose from the dead. Matthew wrote that on the Sunday morning after the crucifixion. Mary Magdalene and another woman named Mary had come to anoint Jesus' body, as was the custom of the day. However, before the two women could enter the tomb, an angel appeared and announced that Jesus was no longer dead and no longer present in the tomb. Brothers and sisters, as we continue these readings and from Scripture, I wanted to encourage you that Scripture is full, jam-packed, with stories of testimonies of things that really did happen, brothers and sisters. Jesus, Almighty God, is alive. He's alive right now. And if you want to talk to him, tell him your problems, please do that, brothers and sisters. Don't hold back. If you have to cry, then you cry. But just know that you are not alone and God will not forsake you. God is with you. Luke's gospel reveals that there were two angels at the tomb on the day of Jesus' resurrection. And similarly, John mentions two angels who spoke to Mary while she was crying. Both writers confirmed that the stone blocking the tomb had been rolled back and that Jesus was no longer inside. And you can find, of course, in Luke 24, John 20, and Acts 9. And of course, a reading from the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 1 to 10. The Sabbath was over, and it was almost daybreak on Sunday when Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly a strong earthquake struck, and the Lord's angel came down from heaven. He rolled away the stone and sat on it. The angel looked as bright as lightning, and as his clothes were as white as snow. The guards shook from fear and fell down, as though they were dead. The angel said to the woman, "Don't be afraid. I know you are looking for Jesus, who was nailed to a cross. He isn't here. God has raised him to life, just as Jesus said he would. Come, see the place where his body was lying. Now hurry, tell his disciples he has been raised to life and is on his way to Galilee. Go there, and you will see him. This is what I came to tell you." The women were frightened and yet very happy as they hurried from the tomb and ran to tell his disciples. And suddenly Jesus met them and greeted them. They went near him, held on to his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said, "Don't be afraid. Tell my followers to go to Galilee. They will see me there." The Bible mentions that scripture, "Don't be afraid," so many times for all of us to remind ourselves, do not be afraid. Jesus' ascension into heaven took place on the Mount of Olives, a large hill that was about half a mile from Jerusalem and halfway between Jerusalem and Bethany. As the moment of parting drew near, the disciples wondered aloud if God was going to restore Israel's autonomy by giving her a king once more. And in response to this, Jesus spoke his final words to the disciples. First, he assured them that they did not need to know the timing of future events that were in God's control, as we are now, my friends. It is not for us to know when this pandemic will lift, but all we are to know and believe and trust that God is in control. And he also promised that the Holy Spirit would come, giving them guidance and power. And then he repeated his command for them to spread his message to Jerusalem and beyond. And with that, Jesus was taken into heaven right before their eyes. His followers were so awestruck that although Jesus was no longer there, they just kept staring at the sky. My goodness, wouldn't we all, right, brothers and sisters? Oh, imagine that being a disciple during that time and watching the ascension of Jesus, all beautiful, all white, all glimmering, and smiling at us and reminding us that we're not alone. We don't have to walk on this earth alone. He is with us every step of the way. What a blessing, what a grace, what a gift that is for all of us, all of us. And suddenly, two men dressed in white clothes appeared and explained that Jesus had been taken to heaven and that he would return someday in the same way he had left. So, brothers and sisters, you can see what I've been doing, right? I've been talking about the supernatural. I've been talking about miracles, the miracles of Jesus, of deliverance, of salvation and healing. And now we are going to talk about the portrait of angels. Have you had an angel encounter? Well, brothers and sisters, I will tell you if you haven't heard before. I'm one of four rare bone cancer survivors in Canada. And there are how many documented cases like me? I think four. Yeah, that's right, four. Four documented cases like me, and I've been written about apparently in 8 medical journals. So I had a type of bone cancer that was found in my femur. And it came from out of the blue. I have no idea. There's no cancer in my family anywhere. And there it was. Size of a golf ball, located in my femur. As it turned out, First they told us it was benign, and then they told us it was malignant. And after a 12-hour surgery, and after well over 4 months in the hospital, I was able to come home with crutches. I had learned to stand up on my feet a little. Brothers and sisters, during the time that I was in the hospital, I felt at the lowest point in my life. I had two young children, an awesome husband, wonderful parents. Two young children, ages 5 and 9. And to be out of a blue, just being told that this thing in your knee, in your femur, is actually malignant. It took the rug right out of from under our feet. You can just imagine how you can flip a coin. It's one side, and then you just flip it just as quickly as you can turn it. Your whole life is turned upside down. And so, brothers and sisters, there's a lot more to this story. And if you are ever interested in my story, I have a story. It's a CD. It's called Angels Don't Wear Pajamas, because the angels that came to me didn't wear pajamas. One of them was my mom. And then, brothers and sisters, while I was in the hospital, a very stern, tall, thin nurse came in a very traditional-looking hat. I hadn't seen hats like that. And I was alone in my room and so desperately depressed at my lowest point. And she came in and she put her hands behind her back and she walked over to me. And then she walked over to the window and she said to me in a very stern, kind of matter-of-fact way, "You're going to be fine. You're going to be just fine." And it wasn't like encouraging. It was like, I didn't know what to think. And I thought, why would she say that? How does she know? And then I sat there, I forgot about it and just dwelled and just sat there. And finally, one of the nurses came in. They always came every couple hours to check my blood because my blood count was so low that I was borderline for a transfusion. So they were watching it, whether or not it was climbing or not. And when she came in, I said to her, "Who was that nurse that just came in?" And she looked at me like, "Yeah, what do you mean?" I said, "The tall nurse, the skinny nurse with the hat." And she looked really, stern. "There's nobody in the station," she said, "right now. It's early, Christina. It's just me and one other," and she named the nurse. And then I knew that I had seen an angel, that God sent an angel to stop whining, Christina, that you're going to be fine. And here I am, 27 years later, working with Radio Maria, volunteering my time. It's not work. It's beautiful. It's an opportunity. It's a privilege. And if I can encourage any of you who volunteer time and want to volunteer when the pandemic is over, please come, 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 come. People are willing to help you. They will guide you. There's beautiful people here that work here, people who will give their time. And you can work with Alex Diaz, our magnificent program director. He's amazing, brothers and sisters. That's why you hear the amazing programs that are on here. And I feel so privileged. But there we were, brothers and sisters. I too saw an angel. And I do believe in angels. Have you got an angel story? Please send it to us at quilt, QUILT, at radiomaria.ca. Don't tell us your name if you don't want to. You don't have to. We won't mention it. We'll just mention the story. But it would be such an encouragement to our listeners. This is a tough time and a very challenging time for many people in more ways than we can count. But some of us are very fortunate. We're home. We have food in the fridge. Our children and everyone is healthy. Brothers and sisters, let's encourage one another. Let's love one another by sharing our testimony of how God has been instrumental in our life. This is your wonderful opportunity to do something good for someone else besides yourself. This is the first time of all the times that you can come and send an email, quilt, quilt at radiomaria.ca and tell us. Tell us how awesome your God is. Tell us how wonderful thing he did for you, the strength that you've gained from him during this challenging time. I'm sure there's listeners out there that have got a story to tell. Please, brothers and sisters, and if you're interested in my story, email me at quilt at radiomaria.ca and I will send you a CD for free. That's it, for free. It's no use to me sitting here. It's better to have it enjoyed by someone, to be encouraged. Do you know someone who could use that? Then send your name and your address to us at quilt at radiomaria.ca and tell us, I'm requesting Christina's CD. I will send it to you free of charge. How many things can you get for free today? Besides a headache. Brothers and sisters, do that, okay? Encourage one another. God said, love one another. Here's your chance. And boy, does our world need lots of love. So, brothers and sisters, when we're reading through the Bible, you're going to come across an angel or two at some point. And as described in Scripture, angels are messengers and mediators, sometimes appearing in human form, sometimes in spiritual form. Some, we are told, obediently served God, while others rebelled, choosing instead to work in opposition to God. And we know who that is. That is going that evil thing wants you to be discouraged during this time. But the total opposite is God. God is the God of encouragement. Do you remember what I said? I see if I can find my note, but I thought I could find it, but oh well. Anyways, you know, brothers and sisters, God is not the absence of, courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is fear saturated in prayer. That's what courage is. Some people today claim to have seen an angel at some point in their lives. But a personal encounter is not necessary in order to believe in the existence of angels. In fact, Scripture suggests that there is a vast multitude of angels. And while there's no exact count given, there are many references, thousands of warriors in Deuteronomy 33, countless thousands in Daniel 7, thousands of mighty chariots estimated from 36,000 to 72,000 in Hebrews 12. So, brothers and sisters, it's all through Scripture. The biblical term that we translate as angel means messenger. In Hebrew, there is no one term that corresponds to the word angel in English. In the Old Testament portion of the King James Version, and of course my Catholic version, actually my version does say an angel. Some may say saints or watchers. And in the New Testament, the Greek term angelos is translated as angel, ministering spirits in the book of Hebrews, heavenly host in the book of Luke. The Bible offers a few clues as to what angels look like. Contrary to popular belief, the image of a slender winged woman is not supported by Scripture. The one thing we do know is that when angels appear to people in the Bible, they tend to look like people. And that's what happened to me. Consider Lot's encounter in Genesis 19. For example, that evening while Lot was sitting near the city gate, the two angels arrived in Sodom. When Lot saw them, he got up, bowed down low, and said, "Gentlemen, I am your servant." Lot showed no indication that he knew the true identity of his guests. Angels are sometimes described as being clothed in white, like the young man in a white robe who met some of Jesus' followers inside the empty tomb on Easter Sunday. On other occasions, they radiate with the glory of the Lord, like the angel who announced Jesus' birth to the shepherds. Aside from these limited descriptions, we know little else about the appearance of angels, making them all the more mysterious to us people today. And then we must say to ourselves, well, and I won't be able to finish the broadcast today in terms of angels, but that's okay. We're going to be continuing on to angels. So please tune in every Tuesday and Friday afternoon from 1 o'clock to 1:30 and tell your friends. Yeah, tell your friends. Grab a cup of tea or a cool lemonade and just sit and enjoy our program. What do angels do, right? What do they do? Sometimes they do take earthly form, who exist to do God's bidding, whatever they may entail. And most often this means serving as a sort of divine messenger. For example, an angel once appeared to a group of shepherds outside Bethlehem, announcing, "I have good news for you, which will make everyone happy. This very day in King David's hometown, a Savior was born for you. He is Christ the Lord." The birth of Jesus would not be the last momentous event to be heralded by angels. According to Luke, after Jesus' resurrection, right? We just spoke about that. Two angels delivered the news of his resurrection to the women at the tomb. Jesus isn't here. He has been raised from the dead. Sometimes the message the angels delivered was one of encouragement, and sometimes that encouragement took the form of more than just words. Whether it was protecting three young men inside a fiery furnace that we talked about in the book of Daniel, or rescuing the apostles from prison, Acts 5, angels occasionally served as God's instruments of protection for his people. According to the writer of Hebrews, angels serve those who are going to be saved. In the Bible, angels provide not only physical protection and support, but spiritual strength and encouragement as well. Both Matthew and Mark say that angels came to help Jesus when he was in the desert for 40 days. Luke's gospel reports that an angel appeared to Jesus as he prayed for the strength to yield to God's will that he will suffer and die. Angelic labors were not always positive and encouraging. There were times when God's emissaries enacted his judgment on the wickedness of the world. For example, Genesis 19, it describes the fate of the corrupt towns of Sodom and Gomorrah. And when two angels appeared at Lot's home in Sodom to warn him of the coming destruction, it was also an angel who struck down King Herod Agrippa for trying to steal honor that belonged only to God. And that you will find in Acts 12. And the book of Revelation includes several scenes in which angels serve as instruments of God's judgment on the wicked. Revelation 8 and Revelation 16. In each of these angelic appearances, the overarching purposes are to meditate and the presence of the will of God, to glorify and to praise him. They are instruments of God's mercy and justice in the world, even when God's judgment is stern. Sometimes there's been a lot of, and I'm just checking time, brothers and sisters, because, you know, I think, oh yeah, okay, we have a few minutes, but not a whole lot. But we will continue this awesome broadcast regarding angels on the next one. So do tell your friends and join us here on Radio Maria on the program called The Father's Quilt, every Tuesday and Friday afternoon from 1 o'clock to 1:30. Well, because the Bible provides a few details about the nature of angels, there are a number of traditions regarding angels that have developed that are not actually supported by Scripture. There have been some very common misunderstandings about angels, misconceptions. So How about this phrase? Angels were not created by God. Well, perhaps this idea came from the fact that angels were not mentioned in the biblical accounts of creation in Genesis. In the New Testament, however, the Bible clearly confirms, that angels were created by God. Paul writes about this in Colossians 1:15-16. Christ is exactly like God, who cannot be seen. He is the firstborn son, superior to all creation. Everything was created by him. Everything in heaven and on earth, everything seen and unseen, including all forces and powers and all rulers and authorities. All things were created by God's Son, and everything was made for him. Here's another misconception. Angels are material beings. Well, the Bible records a number of episodes in which angels appear in human form, but these are temporary manifestations of a spiritual being in physical form. In Genesis 32, Jacob wrestles with an angel. The patriarch's hip was dislocated in the process. And in Genesis 18, three men appear to Abraham and Sarah. Why? To announce that a son will be born to them. The biblical authors seem to understand that angels as immaterial creatures without physical bodies. The writer of the Hebrews calls them spirits. Paul refers to fallen angels as rulers of darkness and powers in the spiritual world. That's found in Ephesians 6. Both gospel writers, Matthew and Luke, the author of Acts, identify demons, another name for fallen angels, as evil spirits, Matthew 8. So, brothers and sisters, are angels divine? What do you think? I'm just checking my time. Oh, yes. So there's very little time, but we will continue. And I'm so happy that you joined me today. As I said, if you would like my CD, it's called Angels Don't Wear Pajamas. It's an audio book. It's my story with music and a meditation piece. If you're interested, email me at quilt, Q-U-I-L-T, at radiomaria.ca. And how much will it cost you? Absolutely nothing. God bless you. I look forward to being with you next time here on Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day. If I had